Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Roar. Yes, it's me. Okay, so there is this podcast called Robinson's Earhart or something. And it's, you know, as the logo implies, kind of a Joe Rogan-y kind of thing in a way. Some guy interviewing scientists, generally speaking. So some philosophy of the mind, and then the other is physics. So, so I ended up doing one of the physics videos, so I figured I would do one of these because the mystic did link to it as if this guy is saying something, you know, the guest, relevant. So it's 2 hours and 31 minutes, so this might be a lot of video, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, it does take some time to go through all this little bits of shit, but see how much time they waste on subjects that really don't mean much. But whatever. No point in... I don't know what it's going to be, so that's why I'm stuck saying this, is because I really don't know where it's going to go. All right, as a preface, though, the guy does explain, this Robertson guy, that he's having, he's finally reached the point where he's realizing that maybe eating animals isn't a great idea. And so this podcast is sort of a foundation for him arguing with himself about whether he really does need to change his dietary habits and such. So that part might be interesting to see him either confirm or evade the simple logic that first cause no harm, first don't be a shit if you don't have to be. Don't fuck with things that have a brain if you can eat something that doesn't have a brain. That kind of thing. Anyway, so let's play the video and such. And that part we need to play.
I have really been looking forward to this conversation.
All right, so this guy is a Princeton, is that somewhere near me, professor of psychology and neuroscience, they call it. And it's a little surprising to me always when psychologists are even, the more important one. what's the other guy's? I can't remember. You're the ones that do the more fancy psychology stuff. I can't believe I can't remember their name either. Irritating, getting old. Psychologist, and then there's, the step up, the doctor types. That they can't realize simple things like, obviously if he was going to give me psychological advice about my presentation, he would say, well, don't look like you live in a basement. And don't, if you don't want to be treated like you live in a basement, don't look like you live in a basement. And it just seems like the guy is like, he's kind of a slob, he's doing this Homer Simpson thing, and you're just like, oh, okay, Homer Simpson's going to pretend to be a psychologist. Yeah, so, I mean, it is kind of funny when psychologists can't get that, you're sending a message even before you start talking. And, you got to be aware of that crap. If you're worried about your qualifications having something to do with how people receive your statements. So I'm just going to treat him like a regular Joe because that's what he's dressed as.
Not just because I enjoy talking to you, but because lately consciousness has been at the forefront of my mind, particularly animal consciousness, just because of dietary reasons. I've been evaluating my diet of late, and I want to start with the ground up again, talking about what consciousness is, all of these sorts of things. But first, I wanted to ask, I know that consciousness is obviously the specialty of your lab at the moment, but what was it that first got you interested in animal consciousness in particular? Because I know that's something you think a lot about.
All right, so I do remember this part. I was going to say, no, that's not what I think about. But look at him. Come on. Get serious. You can't do a little bit about this? Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that the topic of consciousness has been really interesting to me. In general, humans are animals, so they're just part of the larger biological world. I don't think I've had a...
So it's not exactly true, because we have this much more complex problem where we can actually see the maze and the game and all this stuff. So it's a lot different than for an animal who's just can barely understand that there's such a thing as, you know, how to say it? They can have experience with a trap, and then they can know that traps exist and they can avoid traps, but they can't go any further than that. They can't see any of the bigger picture. So even though, yes, we're just animals with this context of being educated, and it's a huge burden, frankly, to be educated.
Particular interest on non-human animal consciousness. I sort of put them all together. The question of the evolution of consciousness is really interesting.
And yeah, and I think it's really important to say you can't put them all together because it is evolution. And so it goes from 5 cells to 25 cells to 200, you know, and how many cells the brain has and what functions, what actual organs are in the brain are going to make a difference between whether it can calculate, whether it can do this and whether it can do that and talk and lots of different things. So there's no point in saying it's all on some same scale, because there are these plateaus of complexity that enable all kinds of new features. And so clearly mammals aren't the same as reptiles, and reptiles aren't the same as insects, and insects aren't the same as, you know.
So that gets into all kinds of lineages of animals, and that's just been very interesting to me.
The important feature is to understand when did the ouch start. So the ouch is the thing you want to look for and say, where did that begin? And unfortunately, it began very early in the creation of a brain.
So I think that general question in my mind, for in terms of my interest, dates back a long time. I mean, a lot of us, before we ever got into neuroscience or psychology, started out with that question. Like, that's part of what gets us into the topic, is this question everyone has. Like, what is this? What is the mind? What is this consciousness thing?
To the extent that you're interested in animal consciousness, it's just minds in general.
Minds in general.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you're not interested in all the other subjects too, frankly. So yes, they're all interesting, and you can't know everything about everything. So you have to figure out whether you're going to be understanding enough about each. And that's sort of that to me is the sensible goal, is to understand how much is enough to know, to do all the good stuff with the knowledge, and what's the minimum amount you need to know in all these subjects. And so, you know, that's sort of, in my opinion, the necessity. Because you really do need to understand. To understand the context, you do need to understand the physics, and then you do need to understand the emergent functions of that physics.
Okay. I think I'm interested in humans. I'm interested in artificial consciousness.
So the very word artificial consciousness is such a bogus term, because the only thing about what I consider consciousness is the feeling part. The thinking part, we already know how to synthesize the thinking part. The thinking part is just an algorithm. It just adds up samples. You know, it gets a bunch of samples, adds up the samples, and draws a conclusion based on, you know, a generalization. It just makes a generalization based on the sampling. So that part we can synthesize really easily. Okay, but the feeling thing, we have no hope of synthesizing that.
Rested in other primates, I'm interested in mammals and birds and the whole thing, and who has it, what does it mean to have it, what are the conditions, what does it even mean to have that property?
When I think of animal
So this guy doesn't look like he's going to be much of an animal guy, because he doesn't look like he has been eaten right.
Consciousness, what I'm interested in, I think, boils down maybe to 3 things. I'm sure that we could get more granular, but I'm interested in that philosophical question, whether it's like, or what it's like to be an animal. Then for purposes of my diet, I'm concerned with...
So look, a lot about knowing what it's like to be an animal is something we sort of experienced, because in a sense, we were animals at birth, and we were really stupid, okay, and unaware. And so we do have some idea of what it was to be an animal in the sense that we were living in a world that was full of stuff we didn't understand. And it didn't bother us, frankly. I mean, that's my experience. You didn't get too disturbed, okay, that you really didn't know where that street led or where this went or where that. You weren't, you know, your curiosity was in some sort of smaller box. And it's not until you start gaining knowledge that your curiosity gets more and more intense, which seems an interesting feature of intelligence, is that it does make you more curious. It doesn't satiate your curiosity. It stimulates your curiosity.
Whether or not certain animals are capable of suffering. And then I'm interested in this.
So I'm just, you can't figure it out for yourself. I mean, how much time does it take to figure that out, right? It's really not about figuring it out. It's about accepting it. You know, because I knew it long before I became a vegetarian. I knew it wasn't right, okay? This was all wrong. Me picking the bones of some poor creature exploited for my gratification, I knew it was fucked up, all right? I just couldn't accept that it was fucked up because I was the fuck-upper. I couldn't take responsibility for my role in just saying it's okay because everybody else is doing it. It's okay because, well, it's a dumb animal. It's okay because, and those were all just fucking excuses for me not to have to do the unpleasant thing of, eating stuff that wasn't quite as fun.
Third question that's also more philosophical. And it's about whether or not...
Although potato chips were always fun, so I don't know how I couldn't have figured that out. Why don't I just eat the potato chips?
There is value in itself to being conscious, and...
So again, value in itself to being conscious, that we know, look, the value part is just the feelings. What we're trying to do, the projects we all have, are silly. I mean, some person right now is knitting a quilt. Maybe even watching this video, they're says, I'm sewing my quilt. And blah, 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 blah. We all have our silly little agendas, like we're going to accomplish something, and they're all silly, stupid agendas. Now, I mean, I am an exception because, yes, I'm doing serious physics and I'm doing all this important philosophy stuff. So, so I'm doing a lot better than the rest of you. But the fact is that most of the shit we do for most of our lives is absolute shit. It's just little nonsense. I want to rub her hiney. This kind of bullshit. Pursuing silly little accomplishments. Getting little silly things and polishing them and putting over there. And, ooh, look how shiny my thing is. It's very shiny. That's what we're doing. It's humiliating. It's so fucking stupid. It's like the bird collecting the little blue stuff and going, look at all the blue stuff I collected. Okay, the chicks are gonna love me. It isn't any better than that. It's worse, frankly. All right, back. Continuing.
Being alive. But I'm wondering, maybe, first of all, if we should just start with how you think of consciousness, just quite broadly.
Yeah. So that's the big question. That's a very general question. And obviously, different people have different concepts of it. And in particular, the conceptual framework changes all the time. And you go back in, scientific history, and you get these really different takes. On what
consciousness? Oh, this is going to be a long, pathetic answer. It's a function of the brain. That's how you start. The brain did it. It does it. It manifests it. There's no other place. That's it. Blood has to be pumped into the brain. It has to be doing all this fucking zippity zappity zoop with the neurons. And as soon as all that shit stops, that's the end of you and consciousness. All gone.
Consciousness is. And right now, the scholarly world of consciousness tends to focus on one particular way of thinking about it. Consciousness is experience. It's subjective experience. That's what.
Well, that's it then. You just said artificial consciousness. There's no such way you could even build such a thing. How could you find out whether you're making something conscious? You'd have to teach it how to talk before you touched it how to feel. And then how would you know it was actually feeling when it could just be saying I'm feeling? Because it's just a programmed machine. So it's impossible to build one that's conscious. So yeah, it's just so silly.
That's what it is. And so in that way of thinking about it, a computer doesn't have it because it computes numbers, but it doesn't have subjective experience according to the way most people think.
It doesn't feel. It's just idiotic to say it has any coalition so it can learn from feelings. We have feelings because feelings are to educate us, to give us a message that says negative, but not in any precise way. So bad feeling, bad experience, but it's not on off. It's just saying, add that up. Okay, maybe next time it'll be a good time. All right, so it's just giving you pieces of analog information for you to make a calculation eventually about whether something's worth doing or something's not worth doing, blah, 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 blah. So the feelings are reward and punishment. It's just a way of training you as you go through the hurdles of life. And so you get a little bit of a punishment. You say, okay, that wasn't much price to pay. You get a big punishment. Okay, it's a big price to pay, but maybe next time I'm not going to get punished as hard, so let's try it again.
Maybe an animal does, like the famous Nagel example of the bat. What is it like to be a bat?
See, this, I don't know. They always bring up these examples, you know, saying, who cares? I mean, obviously, you know, they, it's not even true that bats are blind. You know, it's just that their eyesight sucks. Okay, and the fact is that they can catch more shit in the night, you know, with their sonar than they can catch during the day. Duh, because there's more bugs flying around at night.
A bat has subjective experience, but it's experiencing different things than a person would. So the experience of a bat is different from
you. You feel a little guilty. I remember we used to go crabbing, you know, a couple of times a year we'd go out and catch crabs. And I always felt like this is really nasty because, you know, they'd be having, you know, the crabs would be mating. You're like, well, this is, you know, you're kind of, you know, what the hell? You're kind of ruining their fun. They're having a nice romantic time, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to sit there and, you know, do this to them. I mean, that's just not really nice.
Me and my experience is similar, but still not identical to your experience or some other person's. So in that kind of way of thinking that probably most scholars are focused on right now, consciousness, what is it not? It's not self.
Fuck magic. Anyway, so this guy's a little slow, so I'm going to speed this up a little because this is a little bit slow. All right.
Self-knowledge. Consciousness is not, I know that I'm mortal and I'm a person and I have a trajectory and this is my past. That's not what consciousness is. Those are
all right. So there's really no point in separating the consciousness from the products, the things that are flying into it. And the information is a huge part of what consciousness is we see the conclusions your brain draws. So the subconscious makes a decision. We watch ourselves do it. We see that pattern. We look very familiar to ourselves. We always do things that seem very consistent with us. There's not too many times when you do something, you say, fuck, I don't even know why I did that. That's not me. You know, it happens sometimes in some interaction, like you know to say no. Somebody's going to ask for a favor and you know to worm out of it. And somehow you just say, yeah, sure, no problem. And you're saying, why did I just do that? That was really dumb. That wasn't me. Yeah.
There's some of the things that are in consciousness. Like you can have those thoughts. And you can experience thinking those things.
Yes, and that's all part of being conscious, because I don't think the calculator experiences thinking anything. He doesn't go through the feeling engine. So the fact is the thoughts go through the feeling engine. So the feeling engine is the conscious part. The thoughts end up going through it. So that you might as well say they're part of it because they got the glue on them, so to speak. They've been through the mechanism that's conscious. They go through it. That's the only way we become conscious of the thoughts and the decisions and the actions is because we watch them consciously happen.
you can also experience the color green when you look at the lawn, or you can experience a poke on your arm. So you can experience, you can be conscious of all kinds of different things. You can be
you're conscious of your body recognizing the color and saying green. So again, it's a little bit more complicated than that. and again, you're not conscious of the process. You're conscious of the moment, the experience of the recognition, the experience of I've decided to do something and I'm in the process of doing it. We can watch ourselves. But it all kind of surprises you. My subconscious made all of these sentences. It has all of this agenda. It's writing the script. And I'm just sitting here watching the videos just like you saying, wow, look what I just said. I'm not able to consciously do any of that stuff. And so that stuff is like what the calculator does. The subconscious is the calculator. The conscious is this gooey bit where we are involved in some kind of feedback loop, and it ends up being feely. The thoughts have feeling glue on them.
Just of making a decision or conscious of an emotion, but that's the content of consciousness. There's something.
So I just argue the consciousness is the feeling part, and the thoughts go through it. Okay, so that would be my argument. Feelings are what make you conscious, and thoughts go through that feeling machine.
A separate issue, which is how do you have a subjective experience of anything at all? What's the essentially magic that makes you have a subjective experience? So that's the kind of definition of consciousness that most scholars are focusing on right now in the field of consciousness studies. So
who cares?
So who has that, right? Or to put it another way, there's a philosophical concept of the zombie. And the zombie is a creature or a person that has all the same computational capabilities and can move and talk and act, but doesn't have the inner experience.
So again, that wouldn't even make any sense. It doesn't have the inner experience because it's obviously motivated and is doing the thing it doesn't have. And they look pretty miserable, so it doesn't look like they feel very good. So I don't think the zombie is a very good way of describing it. And again, a comparison to a computer is a much better comparison. The computer doesn't feel. We feel. We're doing computations, and the computations are mixed in with a bunch of goo that says a pleasant, aggressive attachment, a good feeling, or a repulsive, negative, ugly, horrible feeling.
So who has the conscious experience and who's a zombie? And that's, in a sense, kind of the current groundwork in the field, the way people tend to think about
it. So I guess they all want to say that somehow animals are zombies when bullshit. Okay, they're exactly the opposite. They're highly sensitive. You know, you watch a mouse, it's doing all kinds of sensing and panicking and thinking and worrying. And, you know, it's all full of consciousness.
Got it. And then people have arguments, is it just people? Is it just me? And maybe other people don't have it. Or is it humans but not other primates? Is it primates but not other animals? Where do we draw the line? Do bacteria have experience?
There's no point, right? So look, we know it's a brain function, so let's not talk about fucking bacteria. It's a brain function. You gotta have a brain. You gotta have neurons, specific neurons. You can't do it with some other goo. It's neuron-based. You have to have the electricity. You have to have a brain with electricity in it, okay? And you have to have a certain amount of these neural cells making these connections, and it finally builds a theater and turns the screen on, the projector. And once the projector's on, now you're conscious, because the projector is creating concepts on this feeling touch screen, this screen that's a touch screen, and you feel what hits the screen.
Do plants have experience? And then there's
God damn, it's just so fucking, why would it? I mean, he's a professor and he's going to engage in any kind of giving this even a thought. Are there talking fish? Let's debate it. Fuck that.
People who are the panpsychists who say, everything does, electrons and potatoes and the planets and so on. All right. So this is the kind of general way that people are thinking. And
I use the thing. That's just depressing. Anyway, so pause. All right. Continuing.
So essentially a kind of magicalism to that way of thinking. And the magicalism is that there's the computations and the content, but then there's the magic essence of experience, which you can't touch and you can't quite measure. And
so this really is a wrong way to look at it. There's the computations and the computations that create feelings. And that's the thing. There's symbolic representations of things in the world, and then there's the thing called your sensations, okay, that aren't things in the world. They aren't anywhere else. They're in you, all right? And those things are the things that carry this distinct do that again, don't ever do that ever again, the reward and the punishment. They're informing your brain, okay, of risk, you could argue, and the idea of reward. And now you have to do calculations based on this concept that there's a risk. The whole point is that we were in a circumstance where we have to make calculations as animals. That's where we got this brain from. And those calculations are, I'm hungry, but I know there's bears. And so I have to wait till the bears go to sleep, or I have to try to get a point of view where I can see the bears and I can see they're all over there. Now I can sneak over here and grab some berries. You have to do these calculations. And the whole point is to keep you in this tension where you're constantly aware that you can't let your guard down and that you have to be constantly aware that there's a risk and blah, blah, blah. And so it's this whole fight or flight thing. And your brain is giving you information, but it's not making a decision, because the decision has to be made moment to moment. Each moment's going to be different. So it can't just be a yes or no answer. It has to be a yes qualified. It always has to have a context. And so that's what the feelings are for, is to inform you, but not decide for you.
You can't push on it and measure a reaction for it. So it doesn't have any physical substance to it. It just is. It's the non-physical experience.
So there's no point in saying it's non-physical. There's a brain state, a condition in your brain that creates it. And so all of it's non-physical. The photons hit my eye and then they're turned into electricity, and a whole different amount of stuff goes on, and all this processing, they're processed to pieces. So there's no point in talking about what it was when I ate it. The important thing to talk about is what chemistry, what compounds did my body make out of the food?
Essential component itself, right? And so this is fundamentally what's called a dualistic approach, dualistic thinking, that there's a physical world, but then there's this other essence, the consciousness essence.
All right, so there's no point in that. So that's just wooey mush. Okay, so there's just the function, and the simple statement is that when you take this complex stuff and you put it in a certain arrangement, the fact is it creates the experience of sensation. That's what it creates. When brains have a certain neurons doing certain things, it creates that sensation. You could cut out a whole big parts of my brain and just find the part that feels. Because you get rid of the ideas and the thoughts and the education and everything else, and you could just have the part that just reacts and creates, because I drip a little chemical on it, it feels bad. And if I drip another chemical, it feels good.
And who has it and who doesn't? And so that permeates the field. Almost every theory of consciousness out there is built on that kind of premise. And the work that I do challenges that concept.
Well, why did you give us this whole long story of the wrong theory? Anyway, I don't think I'm going to like his theory either, but we'll see.
Essentially diametrically opposed to that dualistic magicalist concept of consciousness. So everything I do is predicated on a different concept altogether.
I really don't think the other neuroscientists are all wooicists and think there's some dual thingy or any of that crap. I think they can understand that it's a mechanical brain, and we can't understand how it creates this function, but it does function. It does do it. So there's no point in arguing about its existence. The only thing to argue is it is kind of curious how this, gooey crap in here shoots a bunch of electricity and a bunch of chemical crap, and it creates this experience.
And the concept is that, to put it really as succinctly as I can, everything you believe to be true, everything, including all the things you believe about yourself, including this claim, this absolute gut-level certainty that you have this experience inside of you, essentially the magic essence, your certainty that you have that, everything you think you know.
Magic essence, he's calling it. So why do I have to believe it's a magic essence? I just have to believe it's a byproduct of the mechanical function. I know it's electrons and protons. They're in an arrangement. They're moving around all over trillions of places in my brain doing all kinds of crap. And the product of that activity, and it's activity, it's action. It's not some steady state. It's always in motion. Is the fact that it's a projector flipping, you know, and there it is on this, the consciousness screen.
Derives from information in your brain. Otherwise, you can't think it. You can't think it. You can't say it. You can't have the thought if it's not represented.
It's stored in there as a little piece of crap. Okay, so everything is reduced. Every one of your living experiences is reduced to a few little pixels, and all of that is a sample. Okay, and your brain subconsciously looks at the samples and analyzes the samples and figures out a net product to be produced from those samples.
Derived from information. It derives some information in your brain. The brain builds what are called models, bundles of information that depict things, depict itself, depict the world, depict your body, and so on. And the key is those bundles of information, those models are never accurate, ever.
Well, they're never complete. So yeah, they can't do zillions of pixels. It has to reduce it because it only has so many neurons to occupy with the process of representing these things. So that's why we came up with language and words. And we put things in a category. It's blue. It's bigger than a bread box. It's heavier than a dog. Blah, blah. So it check off all these little lists of bullshit things that it is. And that's what we see it as a representation of it fits in these categories. It has these common categories. And that's how our brain represents the reality as a bunch of essences, you know, of its function, what it can do, and where it came from, and what it is in this crude description of being heavy or light.
They're always sketchy. They're always schematic. That's how brains work.
And so again, some understandings aren't schematic, so in the sense that the black and white are clearly categorizable, and those categories are very accurate, not inaccurate. So again, to argue that all of it is sketchy is bullshit. The stuff that doesn't need detail, okay, I mean the big broad category of bigger than an elephant, smaller than a mouse, well, those two things are really easy to see.
So whatever certainty we think we have about ourselves, it's not accurate. It's always inaccurate. It's always a blurry sketch.
Useless statement. So this is just mush. Don't need to be bothered with this fact that our brains don't work. You know, they work really well, frankly. They do a miraculous job of coordinating our functions. I mean, it's like a cat, you know, turning around and landing on its feet and all kinds. They jump these incredible distances, land on 1 inch of space. I mean, we are not nearly as physically articulate as that, but the way we manipulate words and the way we do all this kind of stuff, incredibly well done for the tiny amount of time we take and all of that kind of crap. So it's just absolute bullshit. I mean, the fact that my brain is making this video now, I don't have any fucking script. I don't have any idea what I'm going to say. And it's putting it together pretty coherently. So it's just bullshit to say this thing doesn't goddamn work. Works damn well.
Gee, kind of thing, right? This is why, it took Newton to figure out that the color white is actually a mixture of lots of colors and not like a purified luminance without any contaminants, because the brain's model of colors is wrong. It's simplified. It's useful. It's just not accurate. And so when we go...
I don't even know why he says that. I mean, it's completely, in a way, it's doing exactly what Newton found it does. And the surfaces are actually absorbing colors, and we're seeing the colors left over, and it all fits. So I don't even know what he's talking about there. Our brain is not fooling us with colors. It doesn't matter which color is red and which one is green and which one is blue, right? The sky could be red, blah, blah, blah. So what color the color is doesn't matter. But the fact that our brain is making a distinction between these frequencies and establishing the connection between different frequencies as a collection, very well. It's functioning insanely well. We can see a remarkable amount of detail.
Around claiming I have this magic experience inside of me, how do we explain how the extra essence appears? The answer is it doesn't. That's just how the brain is describing itself to itself. And don't take that literally. Don't take its self-description literally, because it's not accurate. It's a self-model. It's a self-description. And a self-model is not magic. It's just a matter of computation.
What was all that mush about? We can't know? Yeah, sure we can. So yeah, we don't have all the information, but we get the basic idea the brain's doing it. That's not complicated. That it's electrical. Well, that's not complicated. I mean, so what all this bullshit?
Big brain's a big computing machine, and it's building models of things, including of itself, and this is the essential.
So he's saying we're making a model of ourselves, and I'm saying, no, we don't model ourselves. Our brain isn't wasting its time making a model of the brain. So that's bullshit. The brain is making a model of the world, and then it's throwing in a bowl that you could call your consciousness hunks of shit, and some of the shit it makes up, like feeling good or feeling bad. So it makes things that don't exist anywhere, and it just makes them and throws them into the reality bowl. Okay, the bowl that's supposed to be reality. So yeah, we don't see everything that's in the world. We don't see the all infrared radiation. We don't see this, we don't see that. Lots of stuff we can't see, so we can't be always aware of. But we have plenty of stuff that we are aware of. Those sense data comes in. We have experience with the previous sense data. We have images from a telescope. We have lots of stuff. So we have augmented our senses in lots of ways to see deeper and further. That stuff's thrown into this bowl of consciousness to be gotten. This is how the brain sees what different functions, different formulas of the brain are calculating, and they're all throwing their opinions into this bowl, and it's the bowl where that crap mixes and one wins and one loses, and that becomes what you're going to talk about right now.
Answer to this whole consciousness mystery. No magic, no dualism, it's computation. Some brains include that kind of self-model, others don't. And now we can ask which ones do, which ones don't, and what's the use?
This self-model crap is just bullshit. So he's going to try to imply that animals don't have a self-model, and it's just bullshit. We don't have a self-model. It's just nonsense. We're actively doing this every fucking day. Animals think about tomorrow. They think about yesterday. They have the same. They dream. You can watch them doing it. So why are you pretending they don't have this continuous story that they're writing? It's just as continuous as our story.
Fullness of it. Like, why would that have evolved? Those are other questions that we can ask, but that's the essential framework, the essential answer that I work within. So it's absolutely the opposite of what most of the field is studying right now.
Okay, there's a lot there, a lot of tons of interest, and hopefully we'll be able to touch on at least some of those things in more detail. But for now, I would like to focus on your very rough definition of consciousness as experience. And you said that we know that, or we believe that bats have experience, they just experience different things from us. And what I wonder, I mean, certainly they don't see, so they're not experiencing sight. But I think there's also a question of whether their experience is just of a completely different kind. It's not just of different things per se. But you and I, or let's say, I don't know with 100% certainty that you have experience, but I feel quite justified in asserting that you do, because I see you as very much like me. We know that our brains work in very similar ways. But what I'd like to start with is how we might know that certain animals are conscious and having experience, and what the methodology for this might be, because I've been doing research trying to figure out, are scallops conscious? Are shrimp conscious? And so on. So I'm curious about the general methodology.
So,
well, oh, geez. Why would you bother with a scallop? I mean, a scallop really doesn't have a brain, you know, any centralized nervous system. I don't know whether it even has, I don't even know if it has neurons. It has so little brain. So, you know, forget about it. It's not learning. So that's the key thing, right? So you look for an organism and you say, can it learn left from right? So if you reward it when it turns right, will it learn to turn right? And then you know it probably feels something because it's been rewarded and punished. And the only way you can reward and punish is ouch, frankly. All right, take a little pause. All right, so if I was to rephrase this guy's question, I would have said, why do we feel? And that's the interesting question. So why do we feel? So if you're going to analyze why we would feel, you say, well, why would a consciousness waste time creating feelings? Why would a brain do that? And the point I had made was, is to give experiences, that is your memories, that it's already storing, okay, to have information for the future. It's compiling information, so it compiles experiences. And if it gives those experiences the taint of a sensation, that's a piece of information you can carry with you. So the idea is that the brain knows that there's certain things. The brain knows. The brain has been built by evolution, and evolution is about preserving your form and your structure and being strong and staying strong and being able to lay your eggs and take care of your eggs and all that crap. So it's been built to prevent holes and damage and lots of things. And so we have all this capacity to sense not only texture, but to apply a value statement to the experience. So when something crushes your hand, the elephant steps on it and crushes it and it hurts, you're being informed, don't let elephants step on your hand. Okay, that's what the information is. And that's why your brain is storing it that way. So it's storing experiences and giving, putting a value statement. And the only way it can make a value statement to put on the memory is it has to create value. It has to create the idea of a plus and a minus. It has to make something that's, you know, stop, red, go green. It has to make something that can fit that function. And so in attempting to synthesize the idea of value, don't do that. No, you know, to synthesize no, it made ouch. And then it takes ouch away to say good, good. So go is take away your suffering. Stop is pile some on. That's why we feel, is that your memories have to be stamped with a statement about what happened in that experience. Good outcome, bad outcome.
In the field in general, which, as I said, is suffused with magical thinking, there's no answer and there's no methodology that anyone can
So he keeps telling us what the other idiots are saying instead of just saying what he says is the truth. So, that's why it took 2 hours and 40 minutes.
When you say the field is suffused with this magical thinking, are you referring to neuroscience and philosophy? Or within neuroscience as well, there's magical
thinking? Every theory out there, with the exception of one or two, is fundamentally dualist and magical.
Okay, I did not realize that it was this...
I didn't realize it either. I think that's just a bold pile of crap. I don't know, you know, frankly, you're going to make some enemies with that kind of shit talk, in my opinion. So I don't think Spogalski guy has any of those gooey feelings. You know, I really haven't seen too many neuroscience people talking complete baby woo bullshit. So this just sounds like crap. This guy's a shit talker. My brain is profiling him. Okay, he's a shit dresser. Now he's a shit talker. Okay, we'll see if he can reclimate. But it's not looking good.
Invasive in neuroscience as
well.
I thought that was more a philosophical thing.
No, everyone is asking the question you just asked. What animals have the magic essence of experience, right? And the answer is none of them.
Fuck. So again, he's using this stupid word. He throws a, he's playing these silly word games. The magical essence of. Take the word magical out and just say, what organisms have this capacity to feel, fucker? Can you just answer the question, you stupid evasive jerk? Oh, damn it.
including us, including you, including me. We don't have that magic essence. We have computational machinery that's building self-descriptive models. And so we think we have all these properties and they're not accurate descriptions of ourselves.
No, this is just such crap. So this is another guy obsessed with some kind of notion that we feel like we're eyes or something, when who the fuck cares? The point is we can feel really good and we can feel really bad. You don't know that that's the real thing happening fucking here? God damn it. This is just so fucking stupid. What a waste of time. Let's ignore the most glaring feature of being conscious, which is I can feel really good or I can feel really, really, really fucking shitty. That's the most glaring function. That of all the functions, that one just really sticks out, so to speak. Oh, fuck.
Useful, they're just not accurate. That's the key, that's the heart of it all. That there's a little bit of logic, as I said, there's a little piece of logic that in the end, one has to accept that everything you think is true about yourself derives from information in your brain, and the information is never accurate.
So again, why does he just keep saying this crap about how the information is never accurate? You know, we know exactly when Vesuvius volcanoed. We have really some accurate information. What the fuck's he talking about? We don't have any accurate information? Fuck you, we don't.
And this is true. This is always true, unfortunately. This is always true. Okay. And so, no, I don't have a magic essence inside of me. I'm certain at some level.
So again, it just keeps this fake, false premise that somebody's arguing we have magic essence. I really haven't seen all of these scientists talking about the magic essence. So again, this is just such bullshit. This is just such, you know, whatever you call this, gaslighting or something. I mean, this is bullshit. This whatever tactic he's playing, like somehow my philosophy is the good one and everybody else is bad because they're saying it's all magical when they never even used the word magical and they never said it was fucking magical, you fucking lying shit.
Well, that I do, because that's what every time my cognition accesses deeper models, that's what those deeper models say, that's what they tell my higher cognition. You have this, you have this. It's essentially circular, right? The heart of the philosophy of consciousness, the central tenet, so to speak, is I know I'm...
Yeah, no, this is just bullshit. My central function is saying I'm doing... This brain is creating a me, okay? It's doing things, and half the time, I certainly don't think I did it, okay? I don't really see how I have anything to do with it. What the fuck did I have to do with it? I didn't do it. I didn't write what I just said. I didn't do it.
I'm conscious. I know I have conscious experience because I'm experiencing it right now. Think about how...
That's it. So that's the only part I get, is the experience part. I don't get the figure out how to say it, how to figure out what to care about, how to figure out what to think, what to feel. I don't do any of that. I don't tell my feet what to feel, you know, in terms of what neurons to trigger to make me feel something. I don't tell them what to do. They do it to me. It happens to me. I don't make anything happen. The happening happens to me. I'm the victim. I'm the one tied in the chair that has to watch this whole fucking ugly spectacle.
Killer that is. It's essentially the statement, it's true because it's true. I know I'm experiencing because I'm experiencing.
Well, that part's really easy to figure out. Duh. Oh, I mean, fuck this, right? I mean, this is so bad. Oh, no wonder why Mystic got all gooey over this crap. I can't tell that I'm alive because I don't fit the definition. Well, yeah, no, of course I fit the definition perfectly. I'm conscious because I'm doing this thing where I'm sensing and I'm feeling. So I'm conscious. Fuck you. I fit the definition.
Is that that's a machine stuck in a logic loop. That's a machine accessing its own internal self-descriptions and getting the information and then saying, oh, I guess that's true, and then spewing that out.
So right. No machine does any of that. So again, that's just bullshit again. What machine are you talking about? Where are you making a comparison between a machine and us in terms of feeling? Is this such bullshit?
So the questions facing us as scientists is, what brains construct that kind of self model? And why? What good is it? It turns out it's actually really useful to have self models, because it's really useful to be able to predict your own behavior and to think.
All right, so there's no self model. I don't know. All that's just, to me, bullshit. There's no, you don't need any of that crap. All you need to know is you spend your whole life sampling, and your brain basically just looks for patterns to match. And so you just match things to good patterns, fun patterns, bad patterns, all that kind of stuff. And it's just categorizing experiences. And that's all that's happening, really. And it just gives you, when you ask it, does it look good or does it look bad? Your brain says, okay, there's too many black pieces in it. There's too much dark. It's scary. Stay away. You know, it looks too much like the alien from the movie. So, yeah, don't go anywhere near that.
Of yourself as an entity in amongst other entities. That's very useful for survival, right? So what creatures have that kind of self model and what creatures don't? We're not 100% sure of the answer to that, right? But at least it's an approachable answer. It's no longer that you need some kind of magic meter that can
measure. All you want to know is it, can it have a consciously pleasant or unpleasant sensation? That's all you want to know. Is there something else you need to know? No. There's no other point. Can I torture it? There, that's the question. Is it torturable?
Measure the consciousness waves coming out of something. It's not a magic essence. Instead, it's, can we understand the computations going on inside the neural machinery and figure out what it's computing about itself? Right? It becomes a something that's at least in principle.
I mean, I don't want to keep beating this dead horse, but why do we care about it computing for itself and all this? Why he hasn't mentioned the word feeling once in this whole fucking conversation?
Testable. And probably, given the kind of research I'm doing in my lab, the view or theoretical structure that we're building up, we suspect probably the thing we refer to as consciousness, the kind of self-model we have, emerges quite a long time ago in evolution, but it's probably present, first of all, in mostly vertebrates. It's probably present in some reptiles and in birds and mammals.
Oh, come on. It's in the fish. The fish is us, okay? So that's where we came from. The fish has got it all, and the fish was the reptiles, and the fish was all the other shit that walked on land, except for, the crabby stuff. So, I mean, we know those all have it. Anything that has the spine has it. Now, whether the crabby things have it, okay, that's another question. But you can certainly go by, based on how complex their behavior is, that it's very likely they have it. And they certainly can learn. So there you go, right there. We're done with the conversation. They have it. Now, the point is, too, is, how deep does it go? And that's sort of the scary part, is that you could surmise that to do vocabulary and do all the shit our brain is doing, that our senses are really dull, that we don't even really feel much anymore compared to the animals, because their senses are so acute. And, they're doing very complex decimal fraction kind of measurements of smells and tastes and all this kind of stuff. And, we're so dull.
It's probably that main group of animals. There's nothing that exists without a brain. Plants don't have it. Bacteria don't have it. It's possible.
Why didn't you just say that right in the beginning? Just get this whole thing started and just say, look, it's a brain function, and there's a minimum amount of brain function that you need to be able to do this learning thing. And the only time that feelings can really have any use is if you're going to learn from them. That's what they're for. They're for you to learn something. They're information. Your brain is producing them because they're informative. That's the only reason to have them, is they inform you, sometimes to do something immediately, and sometimes to recognize that, oh, that happened to me 10 years ago and it was no fun at all, so let's not do that.
Well, that other evolutionary branches independently evolve it, because a lot of the same algorithms and computational needs crop up in different kinds of circumstances. And so people have argued that octopuses are conscious, and that may be.
Neurons, so first step is neurons. Then you got to figure out, okay, so it was before fish, so before the spine, the brain was already, learnable, educable. I would say, look, it's probably a pretty safe bet to just go with that test. If the damn thing is educable, that is, you can actually teach it in the real living experience to do one thing versus another thing, then it's likely it feels.
They have a need for a lot of the same skill set. Octopuses are these intensely visual predatory animals, and so they need a lot of the same visual attention and, you know, visual control of movement and so on, and they may well have evolved similar mechanisms, so it's possible. But I would say our version of it, at least, probably evolved before the split, right before the split between the lineage that eventually led to birds and the lineage that eventually led to humans. And so we're talking maybe, I don't know, 300 million years ago, somewhere in
there. Oh, it's too silly, right? So, I mean, this goes way back, all the way to fish. Fish invented the penis, for fuck's sake. That's where it starts, okay? So this is just bullshit. You know, that the birds aren't conscious, it's just ridiculous statement. You know, in any way that's substantially different than the way mammals are. And yes, it's two different lineages, but it's branching off the same fish. So it's bullshit.
That time frame with essentially reptiles or some subpart of reptilia. And then it branches out, and it's something like it's probably present in essentially all mammals and essentially all birds.
Okay, so we just conceded it's there in all birds, but he just was kind of implying that it was some kind of degraded quality. And no, it's not. So anyway, so I'm just saying, I'm just saying you could just watch fish, okay? Fish are... yes, they're redundant. They do, but they do a lot of different behaviors. They have so many, you know, interactions with their environment. You know, constantly. It's almost they never do exactly the same thing every day. Kind, you know. So you're obviously learning. They're obviously experiencing. Blah 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 blah.
That would be my guess, given our theoretical structures that we're building.
You used the word attention in connection to octopuses, and in our last conversation, which was about a year ago, we talked about the attention model, but I don't want to assume that our listeners have already heard that episode, so let me just ask what the connection is between attention and self-modeling is, and how vital attention is to your theory of consciousness.
Right, so attention is, in a sense, the most important property of a brain, and people tend to sort of skip over it because we have a very colloquial notion of what attention is. You know, I pay attention to you and I'm ignoring someone else and that's great. And
all right, so even that's kind of bullshit. That's about focus. It's not about attention. So we can change our focus, you know, based on, you know, experience. So we learn how to do that even. You learn, like, say if you are a hockey player or something, you have to learn how to be aware of puck movement. And so it's... yes, you sort of have to acquire the skill to be a noticer of this tiny movement that's really the game you're playing, okay? And it's not, you know, and so you can understand that depending on what you're doing, your brain is going to be triggered and focus, you know, differently based on what kind of game you're playing, what kind of, you know, prey you're pursuing. So there's nothing magical in that either. And it certainly isn't as important, again, as just the idea that sensations are what we're experiencing and that there's a cavern of difference between the bad sensations and the good sensations. And why would anyone else think a conversation about consciousness should contain 90% of conversation should be about that phenomenon, not how we track hockey pucks?
So what? I mean, sure, people pay attention and it's part of everyday life. But here's what attention does. Attention is a way of using resources in a strategic way. And so without attention, if you had to process everything equally, then just to have any intelligent reaction to anything, you would need a brain the size of a planet. You know, the loss of efficiency would be incredible. You can't process everything equally in great depth and come up with intelligent connections, integrations, and strategies for everything. So you got to have attention. You got to have a way of winnowing things down, figuring out what's the most important items of the moment and what's the most important ways of thinking about it at the moment. That's what attention is. It's deep selective processing, and it is the reason why we're intelligent with, you know, brains the size that we have. It's the only reason why we have any intelligence at all. So that's attention is this.
All right. So, I mean, I gripe about everything he says. Frankly, there's some gripe you can make. You know, obviously, you know, the organization has to be organized. And so, yes, you obviously can't make your dinner for like whatever 500 days in advance, you know, in one night. You can't make all your dinners. You can't, you know, so yes, you're going to have to say, okay, yeah, I can only do this one thing right now. This is what I'll concentrate on. And then, but we also know that there's things you could do mechanically, like you do every night, like making your dinner. And while you're making your dinner, you can be thinking about all kinds of other stuff and making all kinds of other calculations because it's a routine and you almost have it as a muscle memory. Go over here to the refrigerator, grab this bottle, throw some of that crap in, do this, do this, do this. So there's lots of stuff where you don't need to be paying any attention to what you're actually doing because you've already practiced it and know how to do it. And you can spend your time thinking about some other project for later that you want to get done. So you have to fix the light switch, and you know, you're thinking about the light switch, and you're saying, okay, there's two circuits. One's the 120 this way, and the 120 coming the other way, the two poles, and I gotta switch the two wires, but I can't connect them because then they'll short out, and blah 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 blah. Yeah. So it's not. Obviously, we don't have anything to do with that either, okay? Your brain decides what you're going to pay attention to, and what you can reliably know is that there's tendencies, and that when my brain sees side boob, it starts to pay attention to that, okay? And it just kind of forgets, oh, yeah, light switch, fuck that, fuck, you know, it's distracted by certain little triggers that will force me to pay attention. And I know I'll fall for that every single time. Those little traps will always seduce me. And it won't until I get really close where I say, oh, fuck, I forgot. I'm supposed to run the fuck away because this is a really sticky trap. So run away. Yeah, that kind of thing. So it's, again, this is another subject where, yes, it's interesting how our brain decides what it's going to give a shit about in any one day. And right, it really matters on what the day is, right? I mean, you know, what your chemistry is doing, right? Is, you know, you're a little horny, or you're a little this, you're a little, you know, and all that's going to make a decision for you in terms of what you're going to be distractible by. Yeah, so, and what you really don't want to do, and, you know, so that's an interesting part of our brain function, is the idea that you have some chore and it really isn't all that bad, but you really don't want to do it. And you just keep evading it. I have that problem a lot. And it's like, yeah. So, I mean, I find some other worthy thing to do to try to say, oh, yes, I had other important things to do. But I know I'm just evading doing the thing I really should just get it done. And for some reason, I just don't want to do it. And it really isn't like nail in your eye. I mean, it's going to be unpleasant, but it's not going to be all that bad. And there does seem to be a disconnect between how bad it is, how I know I have to do it, so just get it over with is part of what my brain is saying, right? It's logical. Just get it over with. But it really just doesn't want to do it. It just doesn't want to just get it over with. And that stuff is funny. I mean, you find yourself, you know, kind of, gee, I don't work quite right. So that part is true. There are cases where, as my brain is analyzing my own function, it's seeing inefficiencies, you know, and parts where, hey, shit, that just doesn't seem like me. I mean, me says I should not mind doing this and I should be able to get it done. And 50 years later, I'm still avoiding it. Yeah, it's funny.
incredibly important data handling method that evolved. And the particular kind of attention that I'm most interested in evolved in the cortex, the cerebral cortex. So it's a very special cortical style attention. And you see it in animals with cortex. You see it in animals with homologs of the cortex. So birds have a brain structure which is evolutionarily derived from the same underlying structure. In birds, it's called the wulst. In mammals, it turned into the cortex, but it evolved from the same underlying structure. And so this is a key part of the work that we do of the theory that we're building. So that's what attention is. Now, in addition to having attention.
At Harbor Freight, we design.
All right, so some of that might be logical in the sense that you could argue that people who've had lobotomies, you know, have a problem giving a shit about anything, you know, paying any attention to anything. But you know, it's kind of a weird word, attention. So, it's really. What the connection it's making, you know, like it's urgency would be a way of saying it, so that matters. And you know, hunger matters. I mean, these things are all things that distort your attention, so you know, the sensation part of it probably is important. All right, so I have to pause here.
Also builds essentially a concept of what attention is. So it's not just using it. It also knows it's using it, and it has some concept of what it's doing. And that concept, like I have said already, the brain's models are always inaccurate. They're useful, they're schematic, they're simplified. And it's that bundle of information, that self-description that we think leads people to start saying, well, I have this inner essence, this experiential component. And what they really do.
So again, he's trying to imply that everybody's perverting it into a religion. When no, they're not, and so that's just, you know, it's just lying. This really isn't the subject. It's really, look, the guy simply pointed the out. I just want to know, are the animals I'm eating tortured? I mean, can you just answer the question, please? And he's just finding ways to evade it and imply that somehow anybody who says anything on the subject is a wooicist. You know, it's just really cheap shot bullshit. All right, so what I want to say, there was something else he said there that I wanted to react to. The fact that we're aware of our reactions when, no, we're really not. So you could think of, like, I could think of just, my brain just came up with the example of, okay, when I was a kid playing baseball, I had all this concentration. I wasn't thinking that my brain is concentrating. I just did. I just concentrated. I look at the ball, watch this. I'm going to catch it. I got to do this, you know. So it was doing all that, and I wasn't sitting there saying, oh yeah, I'm monitoring my brain, doing all of this monitoring. No, I wasn't monitoring my brain monitoring. You know? So that's sort of bullshit. But yes, right, in hindsight, I can say, yes, I can understand. I could see myself in the field doing all of this stuff, looking, you know, and I can watch myself doing all that stuff. I say, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was monitoring. Yeah, that's what I was doing. But when I was monitoring, I wasn't wasting resources thinking about the fact that, oh, I'm playing baseball and I'm monitoring. No, I didn't waste any of my consciousness on that because I had to have all my senses ready for when the ball came to me. Fact. All right. Pause just because my mouse isn't working. All right. Continuing.
Doing is giving a schematic, somewhat detailed, poor account of attention. So you're looking for animals that have this really sophisticated cortical style attention and this internal descriptive and predictive model of attention. And those are going to be, they're going to be mammals and birds, mostly.
Before we talk about other animals, maybe we should just start with humans. And what I'm curious about here is methodologically, how you're testing your...
So again, he just said that stuff, but then you can watch animals like little shrimps. Shrimps are kind of like mice, you know, in the sense that, geez, they do seem like they're awful aware and they're awful clever and they're awful, all that consciousness stuff. They seem very aware, very intense, digging their little holes, doing all their little stuff. They seem very engaged in the world. So I'd say, you know, if you're going to use this word attention and say that has a correlation to this consciousness thing, then you have to concede that the shrimps are pretty fucking conscious, because they're certainly doing all of the little mimicry of what something that had a very active awareness would be doing. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Your theory of consciousness and what sort of data you're looking at in humans, whether it's behavioral or brain scans and so on, to develop this model.
Right. So the key to the whole theory is called the attention schema theory. It's been around for a while now.
Sorry, I called it the attention model. Schema.
It's okay. Very similar. Attention schema theory.
Oh, I mean, terrible, right? Oh, come on. Input, output, blah, blah, blah. Yes. You know, but I mean, it's just input, output. Come on. You know, do we really have to know Well, it's DDR4 memory, you know, and that works different than DDR2. You know, it's a whole different schema. It doesn't matter.
And it's been around for, I don't know, 15 years now, maybe. And you know, data and other work has been accumulating on it, and many labs have also been working on it.
But you introduced it.
Yes, that's right. So this was, and we're still the main lab working on it. And so the heart of the theory is essentially that there is this thing called attention, and that's been studied for the last 100 years, and people have an increasingly good sense of what attention is, selective attention. But there's also the brain's schematic model of it.
And so again, the schematic model of its own attention mechanism. It's modeling its own attention? No, it isn't. The attention is just part of its what it's learned through experience. And some of it is instinctive in the sense that, you know, the snake reaction, some of that is instinctive, right? I mean, there's a little tiny kernel of everybody reacts. So some things have a real tendency that's connected to something probably, you know, in our evolution. The smell of blood, you know, causes a lot of people to go a little wooey. So, I mean, there's certain little pieces where you say, yeah, this is what the brain is just doing. It's being triggered. So triggered, attention, same damn thing. So why talk about it? Brains are triggered by, you know, mechanisms that are slated to be easily tipped because it's kind of important. And when you're in a circumstance where you're saying, turn it on, that is, you know, make me more attentive, you can do it. You can concentrate when you're playing the pinball machine.
This is the heart of the theory. That's why it's called attention schema theory, because there's an attention schema. And having an attention schema is useful. That's essentially the theory. It says the brain builds this thing, this model, because it's useful. And it's useful in this way, and it's useful in that way. And so a lot of the data is, well, do we build an attention schema? Under what circumstances?
No, we're just triggerable, and we, through our life experience, create all kinds of hard-to-pull triggers and easy-to-pull triggers.
Circumstances does it come in handy cognitively, right? So there are lots and lots of ways to show that people have a model of attention, predictive model of attention. What are some good examples? So a magician in front of a crowd understands the attention of the crowd and uses misdirection to get people to attend here while this thing is going on there. And the
it's a pageant. So he learns, okay, the trick of being double jointed or some other trick. Okay, so let's not understand. It's tricks. And he just learns how to perform the trick that you have to do. You the sleight of the hand, you have to do something very quick, or you have to do it by turning, or you have to do it by some mechanism. And that's just a trick. It's just a performance. It's just like ballet. It's like learning how to do the pirouette. It's not, you know, there's nothing else. It's not some higher brain function that's organizing it. It's like anything else. It's practice makes perfect. They have to practice the card manipulation.
And the magician has an intuitive understanding of how human attention moves and can predict it.
And so this is just such bullshit. Fuck that. It's just nonsense. They just learn tricks and then modify on what works. So they find out they can get away with something and then they push it a little further. And eventually they start shoving birds in their suit.
Not just, I know he's going to attend to that, but also the magician knows what that means. Like, because he's attending to that, therefore, he's not going to even know about this. He's going to react in a certain specific way. So I can predict his behavior. I can predict his emotions. I can predict his thinking because I understand how those things relate to attention. And I understand how to predict attention so well I can manipulate it. None of that's possible unless that magician's brain has in it a kind of little predictive model of what attention is and how it works.
No, it just has to do with the fact that you can't, you know, did you see it was two fingers? No, you didn't. And I could do it this way where I slow down over here and then I go fast over here, you know. So what? I mean, to make a whole model out of this crap? I mean, come on.
Right, that's not just a machine that uses attention. It's a machine that understands it and has an ability to predict it. That's an attention schema. And that kind of thing can be tested. It can be tested behaviorally. There are lots of paradigms we can use to show that people build these models or this understanding of what attention is, what their own attention is, what other people's attention is.
If a creature can model the attention of another creature, so it has...
So let's give this, let's use this video as a test of boredom. Because frankly, so far, what the fuck?
I don't know if you want to call it like a second order attention schema. Would you be more inclined to conclude that that creature has a first order attention schema and thus might be worthy of being called conscious?
Yeah. So there's a question, which came first? Is it the social ability to understand the attention of other creatures? Or is it an ability to model and understand one's own attention?
All right. So this whole idea that this is what we've been doing, we're monitoring each other's attention and then we're monitoring our own attention. I mean, I'm saying, no, that's not what I'm doing. That's what I haven't been doing for my whole life. So that's just a pile of shit. I've been reacting, triggered by events, and that's it. Okay. And I've learned to see this and see that. And yeah, I mean, I might be, my eyes might, you know, move different than your eyes in terms of, you know, looking at the environment and being triggered by it. But that's all we're doing, just looking for something to trigger us. Just looking for something to do something interesting. Yeah, just waiting for the interesting thing so we can... Oh, yeah, look at that. That's what we're doing. All right, 1 hour and 17 minutes. So I guess we'll call that a video, and then we'll play some more of this later and do some more of this and blah, 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 blah. And such. So, 28 minutes, I didn't do badly. Didn't play the intro and all that kind of stuff, so. But whatever. It's going to take a little time. And I'll try not to say as much, because I've already sort of made my point that, you know, unless you're going to start talking about the real thing that we're doing, which is thinking and feeling, all of this other crap is just, who cares? Thinking, feeling, those are the two important things we're doing. I can't be triggered by any other part of it, okay, in terms of saying, oh yes, there's some other important thing we're doing. Nah, not really.